I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It is not easy being me, and I would imagine it's not easy being somebody who may consume a lot of conservative talk radio to listen to this show, because I'm looking at my notes as I get ready for today's show, and I realize, probably like a lot of my shows, I'll say things that'll be really popular with a conservative audience, and then I'm going to whipsaw into something else that will be not at all popular. And I'm aware of this, and I appreciate those of you who have continued to hang in here with this show and listen to some alternative views to what you might typically hear on Conservative Inc. radio. And the thing is to realize, if people can see it, can judge through kind of a founding father's lens, that what I'm talking about is very consistent. My criticisms, my praises, all these other things, it's a very consistent view. I don't have to suffer a whole lot of hypocrisy because I'm an observer, a freedom-loving observer that doesn't have to make excuses for anybody that I'm in love with. So it's just interesting. I think you'll see what I'm talking about during the show today. A little bit on presidential politics. So, of course, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that Trump gets to remain on the ballot, and there we go. It almost feels like we were all put through this big national uproar and they gave us something to really fight about for a couple of months. And I believe I said it at the time, but I haven't covered it a whole lot, this removal of Trump from the ballot, because I knew that it wouldn't stand. It just seemed like another one of these issues that the media brings up and they love to shove into our face, and the activists in the courts. It's like they're just creating things for people to fight about when we know nothing will actually even come of it. I'll even go out on a bit of a limb here and say this ridiculous fine, this ridiculous judgment against Donald Trump for, what was it, $400 and something million for supposedly, you know, I'm a libertarian. And one of the things that's very consistent about libertarians is we don't go after people for victimless crimes. The fact that we have spent about 100 years, and particularly the last 50 years, putting people into cages, kidnapping them, taking them away from their families and their jobs and their life because they consume a plant in a way, an unapproved plant in an unapproved way, which is a victimless crime, except for the person who does it to themselves, has been ridiculous. The drug war is a massive failure. It's immoral, and it goes against everything that is at all about freedom. And so this was another one of these victimless crimes. Many people have rightfully pointed out that banks who dealt with Donald Trump actually wanted to deal with them again. They made money on the deal. Trump got the loan he needed. He repaid it. I mean, it was just a big nothing. I will say, by the time the dust settles on that, it will probably be another big nothing burger. Trump won't be held accountable for anything, which he shouldn't. He shouldn't. He didn't do anything wrong. Nothing out of the ordinary for a real estate deal. But they'll set aside that verdict and he won't be found. I mean, all of these things to me just seem like they are purposefully put out into society to create the most amount of animosity and hatred between the two sides. So we'll see. We'll see how Trump stuff worked out. But anyway, he's back on the ballot. You know, I was I ran across a video. I don't even know if it's real. Do you realize how difficult it is these days to see any video of anything, any picture of anything, and try to figure out if it's real? I've seen the videos of the green lasers coming from outer space, you know, around maybe some of these wildfires. I don't put it past our government to have done anything nefarious to start a wildfire for their own nefarious purposes, but I can't look at a video and go, oh my gosh, I'm seeing it right there. Who knows these days if what we see is real? But one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and I don't really question that it's real, it's just I can't verify for it was a slow motion video of Joe Biden, air quotes here in the studio, driving a car. And he's driving by the press, and, you know, as he's driving by, they're showing the picture of Biden. And as he goes by, it pans in, and it looks like inside there is somebody in the passenger seat who also has a steering wheel like a driver's ed car. And there is nothing inside of me that says that is not a distinct possibility that Joe Biden just pretends like he's driving a car at this point. There was a video of him visiting the border, because people are apparently so retarded that a lot of people, this stuff works. This pandering stuff actually works. It's hard to believe, but it happens all the time, and it happens on both sides. They take just this ridiculous photo op trip. One of the greatest, it's not a documentary, but if you ever watch Veep on HBO with Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld. Veep is just a fantastic series, just to show you, because it just paints these politicians and their back offices and what they do behind the scenes is just nasty. And it's incredibly clever and very funny series too. But, you know, I was looking at this video of Biden getting back into the SUV. He does his little shuffle run. And then he got up to the SUV, and it looked like it was in slow motion, but everybody around him was moving at regular speed as he was trying to get into this SUV. But that's not what hit me. What hit me when I was looking at it was the Secret Service people that were around him. What must your soul feel like knowing that you're risking your life for that guy? Now, I would pretty much say this around any president. These are oligarchs who rule over us. They don't abide by the same rules we do. They exploit the system. Most modern presidents, the ironic thing is, probably the only president that really deserved protection because they might have been on the side of the American people was John F. Kennedy. And it's the one time the Secret Service not only stood down, but they probably actively participated in having him killed. Since then, they have been protecting some of the worst people our country has to offer. But I just think, what must go through your brain as you have to be that close to Joe Biden and watch him he's just a potted plant, and realize, I have signed up to take a bullet for this guy. I don't know if they would. I got to tell you, I know these guys are heavily trained. My father used to do a lot with the Secret Service, as being in kind of in charge of passenger service with the airport here in Jackson. I remember he had some awards from the Secret Service for coordinating when some of the big muckety-mucks came to Mississippi, and the Secret Service would get with him on, you know, doing all the super secret stuff before someone came. And you would think, you know, it's something we grow up with, thinking, wow, these Secret Service guys, they are so sharp, and they're so well-trained, and how brave that is. But then you stop and think about who they're protecting. And this is really kind of across the board. There's a lot of people out there that are well-trained, probably great human beings, but they have decided to use their life to protect some of the worst people on the planet. People that are actively involved in abuse of their fellow citizens, and these people's job is to save their life at all costs. And the one person that might have actually deserved it, they had murdered. Holy cow, what a world. You know, I get frustrated with people continuing to make the same mistakes time after time, and I think my frustration comes out in this show with probably some bad effects. And I'll admit I've pretty much lost all patience with people for cheering for somebody to rule them on either side. But there's been some things that have been going on over the past week that I've just noticed. Maybe the trend is my friend, as they say, and I might have to have a little bit more patience because things are trending in the right direction. I just saw this when it comes to kind of, particularly on the conservative side of things. Dave Smith, the great comedian, libertarian spokesperson, the guy is really one of the smartest guys I've ever heard. He's young. I think he's 40 years old. He's a comedian. He's got some no-no language if you listen to any of his adult stuff, but he's a real sharp thinker. He was on with Candace Owens. Ron Paul, I believe, has recently done an interview. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if it's dropped or not, but Ron Paul was on with Tucker Carlson, who is the king of conservatism right now. Also with, I think, Daniel McAdams, who are part of the Liberty Report that Ron Paul does. Two fantastic libertarians on the biggest show of the planet. Jeffrey Tucker, who writes for the Brownstone Institute, even when it comes to health stuff, the trend is my friend. He wrote an article at Brownstone Institute called The Disaster of American Healthcare. And I'll read you a little, I guess this will be my quote of the day today. This is from Jeffrey Tucker with the Brownstone Institute. He said, "I used to laugh derisively at the crunchy liberals who insisted on natural this and natural that, believing it to be nothing but an affectation of the rich who did not understand the vast food needs of a giant population. I fully believed that mass industrialized and regulated and probably subsidized production was just what was required for the modern age. I suspect that many people bought into the propaganda just like I did. I had placed the defense of independent farming and organic methods solidly on the left. So it is hilarious and ridiculous to me that it is now considered a pet issue of the, quote, far right, unquote. It's utterly absurd. To defend the right to raise and sell food is not an issue of the left or right. It's a matter of human rights." So, you know, I came on this show 7 years ago now and started talking about natural health stuff and said many times, you know, I talk about meditation for your mental health, all these. I said, I know I sound like a radical hippie. And strangely enough, over the course of those 7 years, I see more people on the right questioning the vaccines, questioning the medical system, questioning all of the food. Another great trend I've seen is in my Twitter bubble, I get a lot of natural health stuff. Man, am I seeing a lot of videos from black people. Black men and black women that are doing these shows where they go into grocery stores and show you the garbage in the food most people are eating. Or they will talk about recipes for natural antibiotics using things like garlic and turmeric and organic honey. And so, I don't know if this has always been the case. It's just been something that I've noticed that maybe the black community is really starting to embrace. They're starting to realize, I don't know of a community more abused by the medical system than the black community. And the health outcomes that a lot of the black community has suffered from this when it comes to things like diabetes and other issues. So that's been fantastic too. Again, I need to maybe have a little bit more patience. I'm watching conservatives now in the United States cheering on Javier Milei down there in Argentina. He is an avowed libertarian. Now, I got to tell you, he does three things that I think are fantastic and one thing that I go, uh-oh. So I'm not in love with Javier Milei yet. He did, apparently, within 12 weeks, he balanced the budget of Argentina. Balanced the budget by just taking his chainsaw, afuera, and just gutting the Argentinian government. Now, I'm a little suspicious that he is selling out big parts of Argentina to the Black Rocks, to the Wall Street crowd. We'll see. The jury's still out, but this is why I never fall in love with a politician. Another one is Jimmy Dore, I've noticed. I came on this air again 7 years ago. It's playing clips from Jimmy Dore, the avowed progressive comedian from California. And the thing I liked about Jimmy Dore a lot, and I've talked about him a lot over the 7 years, because it was so refreshing to see somebody on the left who was waking up. I was watching him live time wake up. He was a Bernie bro going into 2016. And he realized that Bernie Sanders is just another one of them, another huckster, another con man, a guy that's worth millions of dollars now, a guy that won't stand up to the war machine. And then Jimmy Dore was injured by the vaccine, woke up on that whole issue too. And now conservatives, I see more conservatives sharing Jimmy Dore stuff when 7 years ago, if you'd mentioned Jimmy Dore, thought, what are you, some commie liberal playing that progressive Jimmy Dore? He wants Medicare for all. And I think he still does, and I still disagree with him on it. But he's somebody that is rational and interesting. So it's great. It would be great if y'all would just go ahead and take the full leap to wanting real freedom now. You know, most of the conservative values that have really become popular, I would say, over the last 3 to 5 years, particularly in the face of COVID, most of these new conservative values, this newer Republican Party, the Matt Gaetz, the Thomas Masseys, the Rand Pauls that people seem to be coming along with, those are libertarian values from 30 years ago. 30 years ago. So it would be great. I don't want to be greedy, but it would be great if people kind of went ahead and made that leap now, but I think most people will not, because they're going to have to wait and see a little bit more corruption. When our guys get in control, you're going to see it's just as corrupt, it's just as abusive of the citizens, and then eventually they will target you personally. We've certainly been seeing that over the past 5 to 6 years. And so I may have to wait. I think a lot of people, it's like anything else, so many people just, until it really affects them, because people don't understand that it's already affecting them, the inflation, the regulations, all these other things that are eroding the quality of life for about 90% of the population. Those things are already affecting you, but I mean in a real draconian way. It'd be great to go ahead and make the leap now. When I come back, as I said, I'm going to do what's going to feel like a whipsaw. You may be with me so far. Just wait till after this break. I'll see if I can keep you with me after this one. Stick around.
Don't stop me now. Don't stop me.
Cause I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger.
I don't know if you have seen The Octopus Murders, I think is what it's called. It's like American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders. This is on Netflix. I had seen it show up in my feed, and then I saw somebody on Twitter say, oh, you've got to see this thing. I kind of knew what to expect, but this was another story, which is really kind of telling. As we just see the mainstream media and people in the Biden regime clutching their pearls and over the death of Navalny in Russia. Again, they were totally ignoring the Gonzalo Lira, the American journalist that was killed in a Ukrainian prison. They didn't give him any lip service. But Navalny, of course, because Russia is everything bad, they paid attention to that. But this Octopus Murders is about an American journalist back in 1991 that apparently was murdered by our government or elements within it because he was getting to the bottom of some pretty serious corruption. I do recommend the series. It's only 4 episodes, so it's about 4 to 5 hours long, I guess. And of course, I thought I'd sit down and watch an episode, see if I liked it. And 5 hours later, I was finishing it up. I couldn't decide what they were really trying to tell. You know, even with Netflix, you got to be a little suspicious. You're like, yeah, I don't really trust Netflix to give me all the truth. But it was pretty telling. There's some interesting things. It's a very convoluted story, and there's some pretty suspicious players in there. It's almost like it leaves you with enough that a normie would just go, I don't know about all that. They didn't really prove everything, but it's very interesting. And I think it certainly lends credibility to the evil of this government. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. I don't know what fate awaits me in the end, should it continue in this way. But I think you watch The Octopus Murders, I think there's some of us that may have that fate awaiting for us. So as I said, I'm going to whipsaw you a little bit. While I'm so encouraged and optimistic about where a lot of people are headed, whether they're Jimmy Dore progressives waking up or conservatives waking up, I don't care who it is. I'm just ready. I'm beyond ready for people to finally understand that you ain't voting your way out of this, that this has just gotten out of hand. But while I might have had you with some of that stuff on my side, I run across this clip, and I'm not even sure if this is a recent rally. I find it kind of interesting, maybe a tad bit convenient, that probably the biggest issue in the United States in this election year is, anyone, the border. I mean, Donald Trump is a lucky guy, but is he that lucky that we really had this border really in flame? I mean, seriously, heading into an election year, his main campaign issue is the number one issue talked about in the mainstream media even. I'm just saying, tad bit suspicious to me. It works out great for Donald Trump, but it's, I'm suspicious of most anything anyway. But the border is absolute chaos. It cannot maintain itself that way. We've got big problems. Now, I'm a libertarian. I've said it many, many times. If you want to stop and control the immigration problem, then turn off the thing that attracts them. Cut off all the funds for any programs for people who just stumble across the border. Of course, we've gone in 180 degrees from that direction and started offering more things like debit cards. And, you know, if you didn't have this massive federal government with a printing press at the Federal Reserve, then go ahead, let Mayor Eric Adams give them $10,000 debit cards. It'll bankrupt New York and there'll be nobody there to bail them out. A lot of these things are so fixable. See, New York knows they can spend more money than they have because they can always just get more. They'll be bailed out. If there's a financial crisis in the city of New York City or the state of New York, the feds will have their back. That's how they are able to get away with this stuff. It's why I call the Federal Reserve the Death Star. All of these things that happen, even when they're at the local level of a New York City or any of these sanctuary cities that are just drowning in their own mess right now, the bottom line is they know they'll get bailed out. Take away that mechanism to bail them out. Take away this welfare system that has created a dependent class that attracts people who don't make any, who make a dollar a day. They can come here and make $30 a day. That's a pretty good deal. They'll come. Turn that off. Anyway, I understand people's concerns with the border. But I'm going to warn you about one of Trump's policies here on the border. And this feels just really perfectly timed for everything. Now, I was agnostic about the wall during Trump's first term, because not because I didn't think we needed to control the border, but because I knew that there are other ways to control the border. Just stop paying people to come here, number one. But number two, I didn't think the wall was going to be built. And it turns out I was right. But Trump's got another way that he wants to control immigration, and I'll just play this clip for you.
The biometric entry exit visa tracking system, which we need desperately. In my administration, we will ensure that this system is in place. And I will tell you, it will be on land, it will be on sea, it will be in air. We will have a proper tracking system.
And listen to those cheers. A biometric tracking and tracing system. What could possibly go wrong with that? The federal government really perfecting the ability to control the people's movement with a biometric surveillance system. I'm just telling you. I think a lot of conservatives have woken up to the Patriot Act now. A lot, not everybody. There's still a lot of normies out there, but there's a large swath of people that are kind of hip to these the abuses that were the Patriot Act, even though that was a Republican creation passed under George W. Bush and cheered for on the right, while libertarians were standing over on the sideline going, you don't want to do this. This Patriot Act is a terrible idea. They were called terrorist sympathizers, appeasers. Turns out, again, libertarians were right on that issue, and now people have woken up to the Patriot Act. I don't know we want a really high-functioning biometric tracking and tracing system in the hands of the federal government. I'm not saying they don't already have pieces of that. I'm not saying that the borders should not be controlled. But this feels like one of those things where the, what is it, the problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem of the borders. Then everybody reacts to how horrible it is, and here they come with the solution. And the solution could actually end up being worse than the problem. Now, I don't believe a wall is wholly effective either, but I'm just telling you right now, this is some pretty dangerous stuff, in my opinion. The problem is that everybody will go along with this out of fear of what's going on the border, the same way that they went along with the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act out of fear of the terrorism that they created for us. Fear is the way they get these things through. We'll keep an eye on this, but I'm just telling you, Donald Trump may be the closer on that thing as well. And when it comes to billionaires that conservatives swoon over these days, I'm just saying, I told you, I'm just going to do some whipsaws here. You might be with me and then against me. Right now, you might be against me. Here's the other one I've got my eye on, and that is Elon Musk. I saw this headline here. I got two things on Elon Musk in the I'm just saying category. One is from the Wall Street Journal. I'll see this headline, Musk SpaceX forges tighter links with U.S. spy and military agencies. Company has grown from a for-hire rocket launcher into a major national security contractor. That is Elon Musk's SpaceX. As I said, you can file that in the I'm just saying category. I'm not sure how much of a disruptor to the system and this oppressive government we have, Elon Musk is going to be when he is forging deeper and deeper ties with the military-industrial complex and the intelligence agencies, for the love of God. If that's not enough, and I'll say it again, I can appreciate some of the things that Elon Musk has done, but he may just be a really shiny wrapper on something that's not so nice on the inside. Check out this. He was at the World Government Summit. This might have been the same thing that Tucker Carlson was at. I'm not sure, but this is something else that Elon Musk thinks needs to be a part of our life.
What to do about mass unemployment? This is going to be a massive social challenge. And I think ultimately we will have to have some kind of universal basic income. I don't think we're going to have a choice.
Universal basic income.
Universal basic income. I think it's going to be necessary.
So it means that unemployed people will be paid across the globe.
Yeah.
Because there is no job, machine, robot is taking over.
There will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot do better.
Okay.
The harder challenge, much harder challenge, is how do people then have meaning? Like a lot of people, they derive their meaning from their employment. So if you don't have, if you're not needed, if there's not a need for your labor, what's the meaning? Do you have meaning? Do you feel useless?
So there you go. I'm not going to say I 100% disagree with him on the fact that there may be some pretty dramatic changes to the employment of people around the globe. But this kind of thing has happened many times. I also believe we have got a lot of hype around AI right now that is misplaced. It's not where everybody thinks it's headed in the immediate future. But as many people talk about, there were a whole lot of people that made their living off horse and buggy for a long time. They came out okay. I can't think of the number of professions out there. How many blacksmiths were there within certain times? There's a whole lot of people out there who have been in industries that have been sunsetted at the advance of technology. Universal basic income, I could do a whole show on and probably should. It really sounds kind of great, doesn't it? Well, everybody's going to get a little sustenance living here. UBI is just another form of welfare. Now, I don't know. I can't see the future. maybe there is a time in our future where there is just no need for us for society to function. When that happens, I don't think UBI is going to be their plan for us. I think they're just going to flat out get rid of us. And that plan may already be in place right now. So anyway, I'm just saying there's a couple of billionaires with a couple of harebrained ideas that are heroes to people on the right. I'd tell you, pause and take a moment to listen to what they're saying. They have planned for your future. I ain't crazy about it, to tell you the truth. Be right back. Right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You want to disagree with me? So I don't do a call-in show. Most shows are pre-recorded these days, as I am a road warrior in my real life. You can always email me, mikemadison@wyab.com. Let me know where I'm getting any of this stuff wrong, why I'm suspicious of some of these people, the new billionaires that are the heroes of the right. This was just an interesting clip. I don't even know who this guy is, but he sounds very authoritative because he's got a British accent. Older British men, you're just supposed to listen to what they have to say most of the time, unless they're British politicians. But I thought this was interesting. And when you think about this within the context of what I just talked about, with universal basic income from Elon Musk or a biometric tracking and tracing system that Donald Trump is going to roll out for the border, I thought this was appropriate to play at this time.
I think there are two ways in which people are controlled. First of all, frighten people, and secondly, demoralize them. An educated, healthy, and confident nation is harder to govern. And I think there's an element in the thinking of some people. We don't want people to be educated, healthy, and confident because they would get out of control. The top 1% of the world's population own 80% of the world's wealth. It's incredible that people put up with it. They're poor. They're demoralized, they're frightened, and therefore they think perhaps the safest thing to do is take orders and hope for the best.
There you go. Just take orders, just follow what they say, and hope for the best. And I think that has not panned out for us in the past. And it sure would be nice if we were to stop some of these things in their tracks. Even when we're scared, if we don't roll these things out. But I wanted to play some other things here that more encouraging stuff. This is my white pill show. The past few weeks have just been fantastic for protests around the world. I've got some great examples here. First one comes the mayor of the city of Athens, Georgia, went out in the wake of Lake and Riley being killed by an illegal immigrant. And this is how that went.
City doesn't track with either of those. And so that term means different things to different people depending on the context of the discussion. Many of the elements.
Liar.
We're here to listen.
Liar. You're a liar.
We're here to listen.
Liar.
There'll be time for questions.
You are guilty and got blood on your hands for this murder, sir.
Many of the aspects that are ascribed to sanctuary cities.
We know what sanctuary
cities are things
means.
That are.
So anyway, it goes on for a period of time. The guy's on the hot seat with the citizens of Athens, Georgia. I just love it. I love it when they're uncomfortable. Of course, there's a police chief or somebody standing next to him. I'm telling you, it's like the Secret Service. You know, at some point, police, sheriffs have got to say, who are we standing with here? Who are we protecting from who? We'll see how that plays out. But this is about how citizens should react about the complete mismanagement of the entire country at every level out there. But it gets even better. Maricopa County Board of Supervisors just ran out of a public meeting when they were served the following. Boy, this is a lot to read, but I think I'm going to read it anyway. My name is Michelle Klon, and I'm here today to put you on public notice and inform you that you are not our elected officials. None of you have ever signed an oath to the Republic of Arizona. Instead, you have signed an oath of office to a foreign corporation, which means this is an act of insurrection. You do not have a proper bond carrying surety for your actions to we the people. Due to all the voter fraud, you have never been formally voted in. Acting as if you have any authority over the people is a direct act of treason. Today, the body sovereign are presenting you each with a notice of liability and opportunity to cure. The fine is $1.75 million per claim, and there are 12 signatures, which means you are each personally liable for $21 million. If you do not resign in 3 days, you'll be presented with a writ quo warranto and a waiver of tort. And it goes on and on. Now, look, you know, I don't know if this has any bearing whatsoever. The reporting is that this is the group is called the PeoplesOperationRestoration.com. I don't know anything about them. I don't know if this holds any water at all, but I just love the spirit of it. And if it's true that it got them on their heels to leave a meeting, that's absolutely fantastic. We need that. This is audio. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. This is another act that just kind of random non-compliance that's been going on in Britain recently. I've talked about it a little bit here.
Frying the fire guy. The fire guy's frying. Frying some eulers. Bit of breakfast.
So what that is that's a British man, the eulers, U-L-E-Z. These are the surveillance cameras that are installed all over London. And the guy has put, it looks like one of those things, have you ever been to a restaurant where they char the top of your creme brulee? He's got one of those attached to a post, and he's got it up in front of one of these cameras. Not, of course, that I would ever be calling for the destruction of government property here on FAA radio. I could never encourage such a thing. But it's a great clip to see where these people are tired of being tracked and traced. They use these cameras. I think on some people with older cars, you can only drive a certain amount before they start tracking your license plate and start sending you fees in the mail because you've driven too much over in the UK. Insane what they are doing over there, but that is a citizen taking action there. And let me see if I can find... I tell you what, I do need to take a break. I'll take a break and I'm going to give you another... Great. We need to add a little bit of flair to the uprising here in the United States. I'll give you an example of that we can follow when we come back. Final segment for today, running out of time here, but I'm so optimistic. I love to see it. You know, it feels to me with all of the nuttiness and just the draconian policies really getting kicked off with COVID, where it was just really in your face bossing us around. It's always been kind of in the background, little regulations, you know, tax assessors coming into your office to count your inventory and charge you a tax on what you already bought, what you have in your office. I mean, there's just all these little nefarious things that have been going on for a while, but COVID really kind of brought it out in the front of us and just said, here's what you're going to do, slave. And so I just, the protests that are going on, but it feels like now, imagine you've got two cars racing down a highway to get into just one lane. It feels like the cars are racing. It feels like the control freaks are pedal to the metal trying to get us to just full total control, and we've got a resistance movement trying to move at the same time, and we are picking up speed, realizing we're running out of road. And only one of us gets to that next segment. You know what I mean? That's just kind of how it feels these days. Well, this has certainly been going on over in Europe, and I don't know if the mainstream media is playing this stuff or not, but the protests in Europe have been huge. I saw one recently in Poland, just city blocks, you know, the overhead drone footage of just blocks and blocks crammed with people fighting against these green policies. Same in, I've said this over and over every week, but it's so encouraging. It needs to be repeated. This is Spain. This is the Netherlands. This is Germany. These people are protesting. I'm going to play a clip here that's just terrible for, it would be great for a TV show, but I'm going to narrate a little bit to you. Something that I saw take place. This was in Brussels. So this is going straight at the heart of the beast in Europe, which is where the EU is situated. Now, what you're hearing, as I said, I'm going to have to narrate this for you. What you're hearing is the sound of a tractor, like a tractor trailer, a tractor pulling a large tank of liquid manure. He's going down a street, and he's got to turn this thing around. And he is turning. What you're hearing there are all of the other tractors that are behind him. Now, this is up against a police line. So the police have closed this road, and this guy is going, you know, you can imagine trying to turn a semi around in the middle of a city street. He's going back and forth and back and forth to position his manure spray to spray the cops that are blocking their protest. What you can't hear on this clip is that the police are backing up while they're getting sprayed with manure. And you hear all of the horns in the back. If you look, it's one of those things that kind of gives you goosebumps. Behind this guy are just dozens of tractors. These guys just sitting in their tractors backing this guy up, and they're honking as he goes in to spray they're government officials. I'm sorry, these cops chose this and are doing the bidding of these oligarchs at the EU, but that's where they've put themselves. You see these people doing it, but here's the thing that I'll caution people. This is why I don't want Trump's biometric track and trace surveillance system, even if it helps at the border a little bit. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing for the government to acknowledge they have and use right out in the open and normalize it. And one of the reasons is because when you hear that protest of what's going on, what you don't hear are any flashbangs. You don't hear any sound cannons. The cops are actually kind of passive with these guys. I told you the other day, I think it was in the Netherlands, they were building a wall around a government building, like with cinder blocks and concrete. And somehow they were allowed to do it. But think about here in the United States. What do you think would happen if we tried to protest like that? And these people are all targeting government buildings. They're not doing BLM-type protests where they go out and burn down mom-and-pop shops. They are protesting the government. Here in the United States, I believe the cops would set upon them with full force, rubber bullets, sound cannons, MRAP cars, trucks, batons, tasers. It really was a little striking as I watched this and just think, you know, the people in Europe, even though the green climate freaks are coming after them hard and they're farmers, I'm sure they've got that in store for us, but they have a lot more rights when it comes to protesting than we do here in the United States. Something to think about. It's kind of scary. Police, start to think you're one of us, not them. That's all the time I got for today. Have a great one. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Here comes the-